All right, real talk for 2026. If a tool can run code, touch credentials, or trigger a deployment, it's not just a tool anymore. It's production adjacent. It's a control plane. And this week is basically three different angles of that same reality. One, N8N is back in the headlines with another max severity CVE. It's a different bug than the one we covered in episode 12, and it changes what you should care about inside the platform. Two, GitHub introduced a new fine-grained permission for artifact metadata. It sounds boring, but it's supply chain and least privilege getting sharper edges, and there's a deadline involved. And three, AWS wrote up what it actually took to take a DevOps AI agent from prototype to product. The best parts are not AI is magic. It's the unsexy stuff. Evals, guardrails, and making the agent safe when it's 2 a.m. and everything's on fire. All right, let's get into it. Hey, I'm Brian. I work in DevOps and SRE, and I run Teller's Tech. This is Ship It Weekly, where I filter the noise and pull out what actually matters when you're the one running infrastructure and owning reliability. Quick bit of housekeeping, shipitweekly.fm has the episode links and show notes, and you can also find all of the past episodes there as well. All right, three main stories today, then a lightning round, and then we'll wrap. Story one. N8N CVE 2026-21877, Authenticated RCE. That means your risk isn't only are we exposed to the internet. It's who can log in and who can edit workflows. Story 2, GitHub Actions and the new artifact underscore metadata permission. Small change, big blast radius reduction. Story 3, AWS DevOps Agent. A rare look at what it takes to ship an agent like a real product, not a demo. Then the lightning round, a few smaller things worth knowing this week. All right, N8N. Quick callback to episode 12 because it matters that these are two different issues. Episode 12 was CVE-2026-21858. The unauth nightmare one. That was the scary public exposure angle. This week's story is CVE-2026-21877. It's a different vulnerability, still max severity, but it's authenticated RCE. And authenticated RCE is the your internal trust model is wrong reminder. Because internal only doesn't protect you from compromised credentials, session hijacks, leaked tokens, or lateral movement. The gist here is if someone can authenticate and they can create or modify workflows, they may be able to abuse the Git node to get to arbitrary file write and then chain that into remote code execution on the host. So the real question isn't just, did we patch? It's who is allowed to do what inside N8N? And in a lot of orgs, workflow automation tools start with a do-it-yourself vibe. Anyone can build self-service automation. Super convenient, but convenience plus credentials plus code execution equals control plane. So treat it like one. What do you do? First, patch. It was fixed in 1.121.3. Second, remove optional sharp edges. If you don't need the Git node, disable it. Don't keep it enabled just in case. Third, tighten who can create and edit workflows. Treat workflow creation as privileged. If the tool lets you do role separation, do it. If it doesn't, lock down who can access the UI. Fourth, inventory what creds live in there. Because the nightmare scenario with automation tools isn't just the server got popped. It's the attacker used the tool's existing access to pivot. The Do This Monday mini playbook is check your version. Upgrade, and disable the Git node unless you truly need it. Restrict workflow creation and editing. Get the UI off the public internet or at least behind strict access controls. List the integrations and credentials it holds and decide what you'd rotate if you had to assume compromise. All right, Story 2. GitHub added a fine-grained permission called artifact_metadata, and it's GA now. There is also a deadline for moving away from using broad contents permissions for artifact metadata APIs. This is one of those changes that's not flashy, but it's exactly what mature platforms do. They reduce the default blast radius of common workflows. Because historically, a lot of folks granted contents permissions just to make artifact-related calls work. And contents permissions tend to be broader than needed. So what's the operational takeaway? This is your forcing function to clean up actions permissions hygiene. If your workflows don't have explicit permissions blocks, that's your first fix. If they do, audit where you've got contents read or contents write out of habit. Then, for workflows that touch artifact metadata APIs, migrate them to artifact_metadata, and then bake it into your baseline templates and reusable workflows. Because the real win is not we fixed one workflow. Its future workflows don't start with broad perms by default. Do this Monday mini playbook. Identify workflows and reusable workflows using artifact metadata APIs. Update permissions to use artifact_metadata. Set a minimal default permissions block in templates. Document the approved exceptions so future teams don't just slap contents write on everything. All right, story 3. AWS DevOps Agent. This post is refreshing because it's not agents will change everything. It's here's what it took to ship an agent as a product. And the punchline is prototype is easy, reliability is hard. Three lessons I'd steal. One, evals are not optional. If the agent is part of your ops workflow, you need repeatable evaluation scenarios like it's a test suite. Two, you need observability into the agent's decisions, not just the final output. Tool calls, context inputs, what it did, what it tried, what failed. Three, you need an explicit control loop. If the agent can take actions, it needs breaks, confidence thresholds, approval gates, scope, rate limits, a big red stop button. Because an agent that can open PRs, trigger CI, or touch infrastructure is basically a junior engineer with a caffeine problem. Fast and helpful, but absolutely capable of doing something dumb at speed if you give it too much freedom. Do this Monday mini playbook. Define what the agent is allowed to do and scope it hard. Put approvals on anything that changes state. Log tool calls and outcomes. Create a small set of eval scenarios based on your real workflows. And have a fallback plan when the agent toolchain is down. All right, time for the lightning round. Some smaller stuff that's worth knowing this week. First quick hit, GitHub secret scanning is going to auto-enable extended metadata checks for certain repos starting February 18th, 2026. This is separate from the artifact metadata permission story. The practical implication is governance. If you run GHAS or secret protection at scale, expect new signal to show up without someone explicitly flipping a switch in every repo. Good for security coverage, but you'll want to sanity check how it impacts alert volume, ownership, and what actionable means in your org. Next, Claude Code and guardrails. There is a good real-world reminder in a thread where somebody's using Claude Code through Bedrock, and their configured guardrails work via other paths, not through Claude Code. The punchline is simple. Don't assume your guardrails apply just because you turn them on somewhere. Validate the exact client and execution path you are using, especially if the agent can run tools or touch repos. Next, Blocks Goose. This is another example of agent workflows getting operationalized instead of being a toy. They've got a repeatable research to plan to implementation workflow and a whole section on managing sessions and context so the agent doesn't go off the rails as conversations get long. The takeaway? If you're going to use agents for real work, you need structure, not vibes. Treat it like an operational workflow with checkpoints, resumable sessions, and explicit context management. And last, open code as an agent runner platform. What's useful here is less the tool and more the pattern. Running agents locally with plugins that handle stuff like safe shell execution and background PTYs so you don't hang your terminal or let an agent freestyle destructive commands. An actionable tip if you're experimenting, run it in a sandbox environment. Use scoped API keys and make the default posture read-only plus proposals, not write access everywhere. That's the lightning round. Here's the human part. A lot of teams are pushing hard on automation right now because it feels like the fastest path to leverage. And it is. Automation is leverage. But leverage without controls is just a faster way to hurt yourself. N8N is powerful because it's connected. That's also why it's dangerous. GitHub Actions is powerful because it can do everything. That's also why permissions matter so much. Agents are powerful because they compress time. That's also why oversight becomes the job. So if you're building platforms in 2026, the job isn't add more automation. The job is add automation, but with breaks. Scope permissions. Limit blast radius. Make actions auditable. Make rollback easy. And design your system so you can survive the weeks where something goes sideways. All right, that's it for this episode of Ship It Weekly. We covered N8N CVE 2026-21877, the authenticated RCE angle, and why workflow creation rights matter as much as patching. We covered GitHub's new artifact metadata permission and how to treat it as a chance to standardize actions permissions instead of letting every repo reinvent bad defaults. And we covered AWS DevOps agent lessons from prototype to product. And the real takeaway, evals, guardrails, observability, and control loops are what make agents usable in real operations. If you got something out of this, hit follow or subscribe wherever you are listening. And if you've got 10 seconds, a rating or review helps way more than it should. Links, show notes, and past episodes are on shipitweekly.fm. I'm Brian, and I'll see you next week.